Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Yes, it is about that time. It is Monday, November 12, 2018. Hope you all had a great weekend. Mine was a bit long. A lot going on in the world of local sports, as you know. You had high school football regionals on Friday night. We'll bring to you the latest news concerning that, as we have a few local teams that are still dancing for a possible chance of winning a state championship. And it was a very busy weekend in the world of Michigan State sports. You all know by now that the Michigan State football team fell to Ohio State on Saturday afternoon inside of Spartan Stadium. Michigan State lost that game 26-6, the final. And there are a few obvious reasons that led to a Michigan State loss. That led to not just a loss, because I think that right now just Ohio State is the better team. But there's one glaring mishap that could have, at least in my opinion, made Michigan State football competitive. And I think you all know what I'm talking about, all right? Just read between the lines there. So, you get to hear what head coach of the Michigan State football team, Mark D'Antonio, had to say after that loss to OSU. You'll get a chance to hear from Michigan State offensive coordinator Dave Warner. You'll also get a chance to hear from both quarterbacks, Brian Lewerke and Rocky Lombardi, after that loss. A lot to get off my chest concerning that loss for MSU. On a much more positive note, we'll talk some Spartan hoops as well, as I was able to catch both the Michigan State women's and the men's basketball teams in action yesterday, starting at 1 p.m. at the Breslin Center, as Susie Merchant's team was able to get a win over East Tennessee State University. And then after that one was said and done, around 6 p.m., Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team ended up beating Florida Gulf Coast. So we'll have takeaways from that game as well. And then, as we customarily close out each and every Monday's Current Sports with, we will have a look at the weekend of sports, and we will have our weekend winners for you all. Tough to really pick a weekend winner this Monday, because what happened with MSU football, as well as, I didn't even bring up the Detroit Lions, right? I mean, the Honolulu Blue and Silver just looking just bad right now. They don't even have a pulse right now, folks. It's ugly. It is really ugly for the Detroit Lions. So we'll have brief thoughts on them as well. But primarily today, we'll be discussing the Michigan State football loss to OSU and Spartan hoops. All right. I want to hear from you all. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That's the number to call. I want to hear from you all and want to get your thoughts on what you witnessed at Spartan Stadium on Saturday, and those who were able to check out that game live in person. Curious to get your thoughts on what the chatter was like in the stands, because I actually took some time in the fourth quarter to remove myself from the press box. And I actually just want it to be like a fly on the wall amongst the Spartan fans and Ohio State fans on Saturday. And there was some interesting dialogue that took place in the stands of Spartan Stadium, which I'll tell you what my experience was like in that fourth quarter also later on this hour, okay? But again, weigh in on Facebook as well at facebook.com/WKAR News. You can also tweet the show at WKAR_sports or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, and we start with the latest news coming out of Michigan State. Michigan State men's basketball was able to beat Florida Gulf Coast last night at the Breslin Center. Josh Langford, Nick Ward, and Cassius Winston helped the 10th-ranked Spartans jump out to a really big lead early and maintain that momentum throughout last night's 106-82 dub. The three juniors, who were the primary culprits in a slow start, in a Tuesday loss last week to the number one Kansas Jayhawks, provided big nights for the Spartans. And Nick Ward was absolutely fantastic in that game last night. I mean, Florida Gulf Coast had absolutely no answer for him whatsoever. And, you know, this Michigan State team, though, Tom Izzo, and he's never happy. Let's be real here. Tom Izzo is always very critical of his team and demands more. And, you know, when you talk about going against Florida Gulf Coast, as I like to say, you have to look at that game, a game like that, with a different lens. But positives right now, though. Nick Ward, 25 points for him. I mean, he was 7 of 11 from the field. Josh Langford was the second leading scorer for Michigan State. 18 points for him, 7 of 15 from the floor. You also had Cassius Winston chipping in with 14 points. And Kenny Goins, among the top assist men in last night's win, he had 5 assists for Michigan State. That's pretty impressive as well. So now Michigan State will look forward to a matchup this Wednesday, actually, against the University of Louisiana Monroe. The Warhawks will be coming to the Breslin Center this Wednesday. All right, more on MSU men's basketball in just a moment. And for the second straight game, 5 Michigan State women's basketball players scored in double figures as the Michigan State women's team used a strong second half to stop East Tennessee State 75-53 on Sunday at the Breslin Center. The Spartans outscored the Bucks 43-24 in the final 20 minutes. Now, with the win, Michigan State improves to 2-0 on the year, while East Tennessee State falls to 0-2 after a pair of road games. Last year, the two teams needed overtime to figure out the winner of that affair, as MSU babbled to an 83-74 win in Johnson City, Tennessee. Also, I want to let you guys know that the Michigan State men's soccer team is actually right now, as I speak, huddled around a television as they await who they will play in the NCAA tourney. There's a viewing party happening right now. I actually been in touch with Kara Fisher of MSU Athletics, and they are having that viewing party in the coach's den on the fourth floor at building 1855. And so we should know in just a second. I'm actually going to stay glued to my Twitter to find out who exactly Damon Rensing's team will play in the NCAA tourney. So we will keep you updated on that news throughout the hour. Also, yeah, we'll get to it right now. Michigan State football, the loss to Ohio State, 26-6, your final. Another solid defensive performance, just gone by the wayside, as Michigan State just could not move the ball down the field in front of a crowd of a little over 73,000 at Spartan Stadium. Following the loss, Mark D'Antonio said senior L.J. Scott, senior running back L.J. Scott, will take a redshirt and will return for a fifth year at Michigan State next season. A lot more on that Michigan State football loss in just a moment. Keep it locked. When it comes to the University of Michigan football program, quite the contrast, right? Shea Patterson has stamped Michigan as a legit national title contender. Patterson threw for 260 yards, three touchdowns. Caron Higdon ran for a pair of one-yard scores, and the fourth-ranked Wolverines routed Rutgers, which is not a good football team anyway, but 42-7 your final on Saturday for Michigan's now ninth straight dub. The Wolverines, 9-1 on the season, remain in first place of the Big Ten East. They have a matchup against Indiana this weekend before closing out the regular season at number 8 Ohio State the week after. The Michigan State hockey team dropped its second of two games with Arizona State on Saturday night in Tempe. 2-0, the Sun Devils scored a goal in each of the first two periods, and then ASU goaltender Joey DeCord turned away all 20 Spartan shots that he faced. So Michigan State hockey, they fell, as I mentioned, on Friday night as well, swept by Arizona State University. And now looking at the hockey schedule for the Spartans, they will now take on and get ready for Notre Dame come this weekend. But a sweep. I believe that first game on Friday night, that was a 5-4 final. So there you have that. Also, the number 10 Michigan State women's cross country team has been selected as an at-large bid for the NCAA championships on November 17th at the Thomas Zimmer Championship cross country course in Madison, Wisconsin. As announced on Saturday, the Spartans are coming off a third place finish at Friday's Great Lakes Regional, totaling 89 points. MSU finished behind number 11 Wisconsin and number 7 Michigan, who tallied 46 points to win the regional title. There you have that. Also want to pass along to you all, you know, we're really on the tail end now of the high school sports season, and we do have a few schools that actually kept their state championship dreams alive. And when it comes to the scores that we saw over the weekend, first on Friday, we saw Williamston top St. Clair in D4, 28-0 in Division 7. The season for Jeremy Miller's really good Pawama Westphalia football team. That season is now over for the Pirates, a 26-14 loss for PW against New Lothrop. In eight-man division football on Saturday, we saw Morris actually beat Cologne 40-8. And then on Saturday in D3, DeWitt continues the incredible year they are having, a 42-7 win over Farmington. Portland beat Frankenmuth in D5, 40-6. And in eight-man football, the season did end for Portland St. Pat, 28-14, the final against Onekama. Nailed that name today, right? All right, that wraps up your high school football update. And last but certainly least, the Detroit Lions. Not much went right for the Lions on Sunday. And it's honestly more of a theme for Michigan sports, excluding U of M. A leaky defense, turnovers, and an overall inability to put the football in the end zone early in the game contributed to a 26-0 first half deficit for the Lions, proved to be too big of a hole for this team to climb out of. Chicago weathered a fourth quarter surge and went on to win 34-22, handing Detroit its third straight loss, dropping them now to 3-6 on the season. That wraps up your current sports, quick hits, headliners, multiple ways in which you can weigh in. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also go to Facebook.com/WKAR News and comment on that page. And you can also tweet us, tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR_sports.
Decision to go with Rocky in the second half, or really at the end of the first half. Thought he did a nice job initially there.
Again, I'll defer that to Coach D. I mean, we talk about it, you know, throughout the week, obviously, and it's a staff decision. But as all decisions, it still comes down to the head coach.
I thought Rocky was hotter initially in the second half. I thought he had some situations coming off the end zone, and it goes back to our inability to run the ball consistently.
I'm not going to get into all that. I think, you know, with the quarterback situation, it's a staff decision. And quite honest, I want to go back and look at film. I mean, that's the truest way to evaluate. I'm sort of locked into a lot of things going on.
You know, so I felt like, hey, we got to try and swing it up again, create some more emotion and try and go back the other direction. So I thought Brian made a couple throws, and then he got hooked by the back of the helmet or whatever, got pressure and threw the pick.
And I know that I can't make the throws that I want to sometimes, just with the arm right now. And that was one of them. I knew, like, maybe it's just not my day. I'm trying to give Rocky a chance. Because his arm is obviously a lot stronger right now. And you know, he's very accurate when he's got time in pocket. So.
You know, it sucks, but we got to bounce back from it.
But I thought we played the quarterback situation as well as we could have with respect to both quarterbacks.
I don't want to give up on this team, and if I feel like I can go, and you know, honestly, at the beginning of every game, I kind of feel like I can, you know, try and make the throws, and well, sometimes when I get out there, it's not happening. So, something that's just week to week, I guess. You gotta think about.
Wrong. Showed appreciation for the love I gave it through the year.
Alright, folks, happy Monday to you all. A little Stevie Wonder, I Was Made to Love Her. That is one of my favorite joints. Nice joint to start this Monday. You know, this song always puts me in a good mood because many Spartan fans aren't in a good mood today. I also want to pass this news along to you all. I really thought that my phone was just being it, you know, being itself, like it usually is from time to time. Just technology crapping out on me on a Monday as I could not access Facebook to get up the live stream, but Facebook is down across the board, across the world right now. I'm looking here right now and I'm seeing the Detroit Free Press put out a tweet. Facebook is down and the internet is freaking out. a lot of tweets going out there right now. Oh boy, looks like Facebook is down. I'm seeing a joke here on Twitter. Elon Musk offers to buy and then delete Facebook. So, yeah, breaking news. Facebook is down. That is why we do not have a Facebook live stream for you all right now. So, riddle me that. So, again, other ways you can tune in. 105.1 FM. if you're in the greater Lansing area, AM 870 as well in this area. You can listen at WKAR.org, or you may be listening to the podcast version of the show right now at WKAR.org. However you're tuned in, thank you so much for not letting Facebook allow you to not tune in to current sports. All right, a lot I want to get to. You just heard multiple voices in this introduction, right? Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football team. You heard the voice of Dave Warner, offensive coordinator of MSU football. And then soon after that, you heard the voices of Brian Lewerke, MSU junior quarterback, and Rocky Lombardi, redshirt freshman quarterback for MSU football. And Spartan fans, you should be angry today. You know, you should be irate. Don't bottle those emotions up. Keep them in check. I don't want you to go crazy at the office right now. But you should feel some type of way about what you witnessed on Saturday afternoon at Spartan Stadium. Because it was gross negligence in a lot of different areas. The one area in particular that is a complete no-brainer is the whole quarterback situation for Mark D'Antonio's program. The decision to go with Brian Lewerke over Rocky Lombardi. And we all knew it was probably going to pan out that way, right? Let's keep it all the way 100. Mark D'Antonio noted during his Tuesday morning press conference that Brian Lewerke was going to be the guy. Brian Lewerke is still the starting quarterback despite all of the reports and confirmed reports, I might add. You know, this came to light a few weeks ago that Brian Lewerke just is not healthy. Brian Lewerke clearly has an injury to his throwing shoulder. Yet, Mark D'Antonio is still deciding to start him during games. And that's exactly what happened on Saturday. And Brian Lewerke goes out there, and I don't know if Mark D'Antonio thought that somehow, some way, some magical fairy was going to heal the throwing shoulder of Brian Lewerke come game time, and Brian Lewerke was going to lead Michigan State to some kind of incredible performance, lead them to victory over the Ohio State Buckeyes. I don't know if Mark D'Antonio thought that was going to happen, but if he did, totally delusional. Totally delusional. And, you know, I really felt for Brian, man. Again, I've said this multiple times. You know, talking to Brian after these games and after these performances, Brian is just so dejected right now. His confidence is not there. His confidence does not exist whatsoever. And you heard boos coming from the fans. You know, just real quickly here, I mean, I took part of the fourth quarter to get out of the Spartan Stadium press box. And I said, you know what, I just want to see I want to hear what the fans are saying in the crowd. So, you know, as some fans were leaving, I went up and caught me a squat and just observed and listened to what Michigan State fans had to say. And many of you were bashing Mark D'Antonio. There were a few that were actually bashing Brian Lewerke. And we heard the boos too. You can hear them through the television on Fox. You know, when Brian was not moving at offense, you heard audible boos coming from Spartan Stadium. And for the Spartan fans that were booing Brian Lewerke and not Mark D'Antonio here, shame on you, because you failed to understand the picture here. Brian Lewerke, sure, great year last year. Fantastic year last year. And he's done a great job as the starting quarterback prior to this season. You know, I kind of look at it like this. You know, Brian Lewerke was a Ferrari last year.
Well, no, probably not a Ferrari. Let's go with a Ford Mustang. He was a Ford Mustang last year. You know, nice sports car. It's got some power to it. Gets the job done. Reliable. But that Mustang clearly has a flat tire right now. And even though reliable car, looks great, it just can't get the job done because it has a flat tire. Brian Lewerke's throwing arm is that flat tire. And that offense is hurting because of it. One flat tire can totally diminish the efficiency of a vehicle. And with Brian not at 100%, that vehicle that is the Spartan offense is suffering tremendously because of it. And also, you're doing further damage to the car if you decide to drive on that flat tire. It could lead to some other problems. And I don't understand how Coach D'Antonio can sit there as the head coach of this football program, start a clearly injured quarterback, and not think about the kind of risk that you're putting that said quarterback in, possibly jeopardizing Brian Lewerke's future as an athlete, period. I mean, can you imagine if Brian was to take a big hit on Saturday and to land on that shoulder, further injuring it? You talk about gross negligence. You talk about delusion. I just don't understand it. Rocky Lombardi came in the game late in the first half to close out the first half. And as soon as he came in, I mean, he led Michigan State to its first points on the board. That led to three. Field goal attempt, it was good. And when he was in, he provided, and you talk about immediate spark. I mean, at first play, Rocky Lombardi comes in, he finds Cody White for a big gain on the right sideline. It was an immediate jolt of energy for a down and out Michigan State offense. Now, did Rocky make some mistakes? Sure. He's going to make mistakes. Is a redshirt freshman quarterback, for goodness sake. But as we've been saying for weeks now, for weeks we have been saying this. If you have an injured Brian Lewerke, Rocky Lombardi at least gives your football program a chance to compete in these games. I'm not saying, I go back to the Michigan game, I made the same point here. I'm not saying that Rocky Lombardi, starting quarterback against Ohio State, was going to lead you to victory, but darn it, you got a real good shot. You got a better shot with him behind center. That offense has some kind of rhythm to it with a healthy quarterback like Brian Lewerke leading the charge. I still think that even if Rocky was the starting quarterback, Michigan State would have lost that game. But that offense would not have looked as bad as it did. And don't even get me started on some of the logistics of what occurred in that game on the field. I understand what Mark D'Antonio was trying to do with the whole intentional safety. You know, just snap it right out of bounds. I understand what his thought process was. And I'll say this as well. You know, hindsight is 20/20. You know, it's easy for me to sit here behind this mic on Monday knowing that safety did not help Michigan State. The strategy failed miserably. It's easy for me to say here on Monday to look back at that decision and say, yeah, it was the wrong decision. But I'm never in favor of just handing 2 points to the opposition or any points to the opposition. I honestly thought being at that game, on the field when that moment happened, it kind of sucked some life out of Spartan Stadium. It kind of did. Even if, let's just say Ohio State does score there, it's still a one-possession game. And with the way the defense was playing, don't just hand up 2 points to them. because Michigan State did that and Ohio State scores on the ensuing possession, it became a 9-point game, 2-possession game at that point, and you're just digging yourself a hole. I didn't like it at that moment. Also have to acknowledge the whole what in the world was that jet sweep? Was that that was a jet sweep? Wasn't it Alec in the end zone? It led to the fumble.
Yeah, it was a jet sweep, and the person in motion wasn't even supposed to get the ball.
I think it was Ladarius Jefferson who was in motion.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure,
I'm sitting there saying, what in the world is that? Who caught that play?
It was just timed so poorly, and just the play call in general didn't make sense, especially when you're in the end zone, your own end zone.
You don't make that call in the end zone, exactly. And, you know, that gave up points as well. And then the whole end around that hits Ladarius Jefferson in the hip, and that leads to another turnover. It was bad. It was really bad on Saturday. And, you know, for this Michigan State football team now, you know, we all know now, they're not going to Indy now. I mean, at the Big Ten Championship, that's a long lost dream now. You know, Spartan fans, you should just want your team to just finish out the year with wins over Nebraska on the road come this weekend, and then in the regular season finale against Rutgers. You know, those should be two wins. But in order to give this team a shot, to give the Spartans a shot, Rocky Lombardi has to be your starter. We should not see Brian Lewerke at all for the rest of this year, for these next two games. We should not see Brian Lewerke with a green and white Spartan helmet on behind center in any of these games. He needs to rest up, and I like healthy competition is good. He needs to rest up. Rocky Lombardi is now going to push Brian Lewerke in spring football. Brian, you got 5 months to heal up, and we'll see what happens. But we should not at all whatsoever see Brian Lewerke in a Michigan State football game against Nebraska or Rutgers. That's done. And if Mark D'Antonio decides to throw him in there, he deserves all of the criticism in the world for doing it. It will be incredibly irresponsible, incredibly negligent, and I think it speaks volumes. And you just heard in that introduction, leading into this conversation, you heard Brian Lewerke say that I even went to the coaching staff and said, maybe I don't have it today. I think you guys should go with Rocky Lombardi. That is telling. That's maturity on the part of Brian Lewerke as well. Maturity that you think the Michigan State coaching staff would have. And again, going back to that introduction you heard, Dave Warner, clearly, you don't have to be an expert to understand what Dave Warner was trying to say, but he couldn't say it because he has to adhere to his boss in Mark D'Antonio. You don't have to be some kind of like psychologist, some expert in psychology, to understand the body language and the tone of what Dave Warner, the message he was pushing across. He was asked about whose decision it was to start Brian Lewerke. You know what Dave Warner did? Dave has this thing. He'll sit there, and if he's not too fond of a question or a question he doesn't want to answer like that, he'll take his lid of his cap, push it up like 2 inches, just kind of rub his face, rub his beard a little bit and say, kind of stutter a little bit to start. You talk to Coach D'Antonio about that. You know what that means? That means it wasn't my call. That was all Coach D'Antonio. It was Mark D'Antonio's decision to start Brian Lewerke. Then he was asked about it again, and you heard it again. You know, the media was relentless, and deservedly so. We were relentless on Saturday trying to get to the bottom of why Brian Lewerke, one, started, and then two, why did he come back in the game in the second half? And he was asked about the second half as well, and Dave did the same thing. He grabbed the lid of his cap, just kind of rubbed his face, said, yeah, I'm not going to get into that. Mark D'Antonio will talk about that. We get it, Dave. I get it. I understand the secret message that you are trying to send us as media members and fans as well. It was not your call. That call was literally above your pay grade. All you could do was suggest that Rocky start, but ultimately it's your decision. This is your football program. And you saw what happened on Saturday because of it. But it is very telling when Brian Lewerke sits up there talking to us media members looking totally dejected and says, yeah, after that overthrow that was way too high for Daryl Stewart on the right sidelines, I went to the coaching staff and said, go with Rocky. Thoughts, comments, concerns, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Actually, our phone lines are full right now. I know some Spartan fans want to get some stuff off their chest. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll get to those two callers. And again, call in. You can weigh in. Well, I guess you can't weigh in on Facebook because Facebook is down. Weigh in on Twitter. Twitter's still up and rolling. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR underscore sports. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You just heard my thoughts on what we all witnessed at Spartan Stadium. Michigan State falling to Ohio State, 26-6, the final. And, you know, for now, Mark D'Antonio's team, they try to turn the page and look forward now to playing Nebraska on the road. With the way that Michigan State's playing right now, that's not going to be a walk in the park. I think that's going to be a competitive game. Hate to say it, but yeah, that's just how it is. Michigan State right now has a record of 6-4 on the year, 4-3 in the Big Ten Conference. Ohio State still has all of its goals in front of it. You know, if they beat Michigan, they will be representing the Big Ten East in Indy. Northwestern, how about Northwestern? They will be representing, for sure now, set in stone, Northwestern will be representing the Big Ten West in Indy. So we'll see what happens. It's going to be Michigan or Ohio State playing against the Wildcats in that game. Your thoughts, though, I want to hear from you all now. Heard what I had to say concerning what I witnessed firsthand covering that Michigan State loss to Ohio State. What are your thoughts? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Line one, Dave from Wyoming. The floor is yours, my man. You are on Current Sports.
Well, wish you could be happy to talk today, but it certainly isn't. I agree with you on almost everything you said. I think a couple things that have stood out, and you talked about Lewerke just didn't seem to be the same guy. And I think that really started off in Arizona and it really showed itself in the loss to Northwestern. Mm-hmm. Because if you remember, looked like Michigan State was in a position to turn it around before, and he's been locking on Felton Davis so often that he threw that INT in the end zone.
Right.
That, you know, and you had the guy he'd fake the ball off to all by his lonesome as the second or third read. And, you know, other than the three defensive backs around Felton Davis, nobody else noticed it, you know? I mean, I also think that once Felton Davis went down and we knew that Lewerke was injured, which most people had suspected because his passes had been errant and going high an awful lot this year, is I think once Felton Davis went down, he lost his security blanket. And he's had a heck of a time adjusting to try to throw and look for other players, because Felton Davis was always his go-to guy. You know, and if I was running the team, but I'm not getting $3.5 million a year from the University Athletic Department, I'd have handed the ball to Rocky and said, "We're going to live and die with you." And I really don't think it's, you know, people say, "Well, he played so much better against Purdue." Purdue is not as good as Ohio State, but I also don't think he did Lombardi any favors by not giving him the starters reps for the week going into that game. Which, you know, once again, that those are a lot of tweaks that you can make with him. He's a redshirt freshman, so he has not had the first-team reps that Lewerke has had up to this point in time. At the end of the day, the two games at the end of the season I'll look back at and say we could have had were Northwestern and Arizona State.
Yeah.
And that'd be 9-2. Like it or not, sometimes better is better, and this year Michigan's got a better team than they've had in the last three or four. And Ohio State's still a pretty darn good team, even though they laid an egg at Purdue. I think they just got caught off guard. It's 8-4 is nothing to be bad as a guy who lived through Muddy Waters and some of the other coaches we've had. But it's disappointing to see how the heels are stuck in the ground. And tell you the truth, if Lewerke gets hit really well by somebody from Nebraska or Rutgers, shoot, they could blow that shoulder out to such a point he might not be able to play spring ball.
That's what I said, Dave. It is irresponsible by Mark D'Antoni. If you know that your starting quarterback has a bum shoulder, you continue to put him out there as the starter, knowing that one play could alter his football future. It is irresponsible. And this loyalty that Mark D'Antoni has, it's one of his Achilles heels, man. It's one of his kryptonites. It really is.
But the last thing I'll say is they finally seem to have an offensive line that is the same people are starting several games in a row.
Right, yeah.
And I really think that, Rocky Lombardi is a prototypical wrestler-turned-quarterback. I mean, in another system, he might have been switched to linebacker. He's that big a guy.
Yeah.
I'd be putting a lot more quarterback run options, make him look more like a Mississippi State quarterback than a Michigan State quarterback with that 50-50 stuff right now, because passing is not his forte. You have a great week, Al.
Hey, appreciate the call always, Dave. Thank you so much for chiming in and tuning in. Appreciate the love, man. Line two, we've got Tom from Grand Rapids who's been waiting patiently. Tom, you are on Current Sports.
Hey, Al, how's it going?
I'm doing well, my man.
All right, so first off, I got to fix something with you guys. That wasn't Ladarius Jefferson on the jet sweep. That was Nelson.
That was Larese Nelson, okay. Thank you for that.
Well, I don't want Ladarius to take heat because, you know, what the heck? There's enough going around as it is.
But, well, no, whoever came on that, it wasn't their call. I mean, that was the play call from Dave Warner and the coaching staff. That's on the coaching staff.
And, you know, there's where I'm going to go, Al. Here's how I feel about it. And I'll be honest with you, the two rows of people that I sit around at the end of the game, we kind of all said goodbye to each other.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of talk about not renewing tickets. Enough of this is enough. I'm sick of the injury. I know it happened, but a good coaching staff works around that. Whether that's Brian Lewerke, an offensive tackle, Allen at center, come up with some different types of plays and offense that then suits the abilities of who you have left. But tell me, I mean, we just haven't changed a thing. And I really think, Not to fire on Dave here, but Spartan Nation is awful happy with a 7 or 8 win season. Yet the talk is big. Heave, reach higher, next man up. Okay, at the end of the day, until we start paying people and getting some quality staffing here, not somebody's friend, not somebody's best bud, and promoting from within, but it's not going to change. So I think as fans, we got a belly up. We are what we are. He's barely a .500 coach in the last 3 years. And that we had a good run when we had superior talent. That's no thanks to anybody calling plays, because I don't. Mm-hmm. I think Connor Cook called a lot of plays on his own. something's got to change, Al, and I just don't see it. He's loyal to a fault,
mm-hmm.
and I just don't think he's going to get the kind of backing he would need, even if he wanted to make substantial change.
Tom, appreciate it. Appreciate the honesty as well. Tom from Grand Rapids, appreciate that call. Again, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. Want to hear from you all. And, you know, it's hard for me not to agree with Tom's premise. It really is. Because I think that, we had this discussion, Alec. You know, it was Zachary Swiezicki. We're walking, Connor.
Yeah.
Because Zach was with me yesterday. That's why I'm getting mixed up. So much happened this weekend, dude. I didn't leave here till like 3 a.m. But anyway, besides the point. We're walking back to the station, and, you know, we're having the conversation of Michigan State football and the coaching staff and what has gone wrong this year, right? And how Mark D'Antonio has been so stubborn when it comes to this quarterback conundrum here. And then we started talking about Dave Warner, right? And just kicking around and comparing Michigan State and how Mark D'Antonio has handled this year in comparison to how other coaches across the nation would have handled it. And D'Antonio and that loyalty of his. You think Nick Saban, if he was the head coach still here at Michigan State and had Dave Warner on his coaching staff, and looking at how Dave has notoriously just dropped the ball left and right, you think Nick Saban would have kept Dave Warner around?
Absolutely not. And
I hate talking about catch jobs. You know, I mean, it's your livelihood. You know, it's not easy trying to become a Division I coach in sports, in collegiate sports. It's not easy being a professional coach. But at the end of the day, with any job, if you aren't getting the job done, you will lose your job. If I came here on Current Sports and just kept dropping the ball and kept putting out crappy shows, I would not have a job here at WKAR. This is how the world works. And it's just amazing to me. D'Antonio's loyalty and his loyalty to his players. It is the perfect. It goes right into the same conversation with the loyalty to his coaching staff and the loyalty that he has for Brian Lewerke, and looking at what Brian Lewerke has done in the past. It's like, D'Antonio, take a step back, remove your personal feelings, and look at the efficiency or lack thereof of your coaching staff and the player personnel that you have on this team. And with Brian's case, it's a sticky one because he is not 100%. Any Spartan fans out there that want to bash Brian Lewerke, you are totally blind to the real discussion here. And you're wrong. Simple as that. Spartan fans out there that want to bash. I got texts I should show you some of these texts I got over the weekend from homies and some of my frat brothers who are bashing Brian Lewerke. The dude's not healthy. He's not healthy, man. It's like me trying to come out and do Current Sports and I got a sore throat. And that's bad radio. Get me off the air. Jack, take over. Alec, take over. I can't do my job. He's hurt. Talk to me if a healthy Brian Lewerke was out there putting out the same kind of crap that we've seen these last few weeks. Jack, you just sprinted in here in Studio West. We have not heard from you. How you doing, Jack? Happy Monday.
I've been better.
Yeah, we all have, right? Your thoughts. What did you want to weigh in before we hit the second break?
Well, absolutely. I'm in lockstep with Tom from Grand Rapids. I said it to myself as I was pissed off walking home from the game after the jet sweep touchdown fumble conundrum that was in the fourth quarter. I'm a junior right now, and there's no way I'll renew my season tickets for next season if I don't see sweeping changes. And that would mean, as a start, that would mean probably Dave Warner and Jim Bowman have to go, and I don't see that happening. So
Students feel that way right now? A lot of students feel that way?
I don't know. I can't.
There's a couple students that I know that are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah. I mean, I can't speak for the whole student body, but for me personally, I value my money. I work hard for it, and I'm not dropping another $200 to go to a bunch of
See that.
Yeah, exactly, man.
Mm-hmm. I get it, man. Yeah. I can't argue.
And I'll
with
do you
on
one
that.
Better here. I mean, You know, they hung with Dave Warner and Jim Bowman through 3-9 a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Ohio State made the college football playoff, and I believe it was 2016, and got shut out 31-0 by Clemson. Ed Warner was fired later that week.
Mm-hmm.
They made the playoff that year, and they still fired their coordinator because he wasn't good at his job.
Right.
But Dave Warner and Jim Bowman have stuck around.
I'm telling you, it just shows you the how can I put this into words? When it comes to keeping it FCC compliant.
Yeah, and not personal, I guess.
And not personal. Yeah, because it just shows you how certain coaches, certain heads of programs, they have a certain expectation that if you aren't consistently meeting, you will lose your job.
Yeah.
If I don't see changes, you will lose your job. That leash is shorter, a lot shorter than what it is for Mark D'Antonio and his program.
And to your point, that's like not even a sports thing. That's just
life. It's
just
life.
A real life thing.
It's
yeah.
life, right? All right.
And like I also see the same kind of loyalty in Jason Garrett and was it Jerry Jones?
Oh, don't segue. Even get me started. You won't bring up my Dallas Cowboys. A heck of a segue. Thank you, Alec, for bringing up. But we
no
won
problem.
Yesterday. Jack actually tweeted me yesterday, too, and I just waited till the game was over.
Dak Prescott stinks.
We won. Scoreboard. I just tweeted you scoreboard
Buddy
last
stinks.
Night. We won.
Buddy
you know, it's funny. We were in here in Studio West because Zachary Swiasicki, we had finished covering the MSU men's basketball game. We recorded a spot that'll be available on our Facebook page later, but we're sitting here and I'm like freaking out watching the game.
Yeah.
And Swy is cracking up because you don't want to be around me when the Cowboys or the Pistons play because my fandom, it's rare when I get to be a fan.
Those are two teams that can hurt you.
You tell him, man. And you guys are Lions fans, so you get it.
My friends next to me were laughing their asses off when I was in the student
really?
Section on Saturday, how angry I was with some of those missed throws.
Yeah, it was bad, man.
I feel it, man. It's
all
sports.
Right. Sports. You know, sports. She loves me, she loves me not, right? Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I've got brief thoughts on MSU men's basketball and that win over Florida Gulf Coast last night, and we'll have weekend winners for you. And quick tease, my weekend winners don't include the Lions, all right? Surprise. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I just want to close it out with some college basketball talk. This will be my weekend winner, Michigan State men's basketball, as they were able to beat Florida Gulf Coast yesterday at the Breslin Center. Also want to give a big shout-out to Michigan State women's basketball as Susie Merchant and her women's basketball team, after a slow start against East Tennessee State University, they were able to just roll in the second half, and much in part due to the play of Sydney Cooks, who was great in that game. Madrika Cook as well. They were cooking it up last night. Well, yesterday afternoon, I should say. And we do have some breaking news behind the glass, which I'll get to in just a second. I do want to pass this breaking news along, though. I know that the AP poll has just been released in the world of college basketball, and Michigan State actually dropped a spot. So Michigan State men's basketball is no longer 10th in the nation. They sit at 11, and Duke, I knew this was coming. Duke is now your number one team in all of the college basketball world. It goes Duke, Kansas, Gonzaga, Virginia, Tennessee, Nevada, North Carolina, Villanova, Auburn, Kentucky, and then you have Michigan State right behind. Kentucky just on the outside of the top 10 looking in. Man, I wouldn't do it justice right now. I can't have a full-on Michigan State men's basketball conversation right now just because we have 2 minutes left. So I'll go behind the glass right now. We do have breaking news. You said it's non-sports related, Jack. I'm curious, what is this breaking news that you have in store for all of us right now?
Yeah, Stan Lee just passed away about 15 minutes ago. It was tweeted.
No.
Yep.
Stan Lee, the creator of Mark.
95 years old, just passed away.
Wow.
So I know you're a big Marvel guy, so.
I am a huge Marvel. I'm a Marvel dork,
so am I.
Man.
Yeah.
I watched Infinity War the other day, actually, for like the 15th time. Wow, Stan Lee, the creator of Marvel Comics, is just passed away. Long life, though. You said 95 years old, right?
I mean, yeah, that's right.
95 years old. It's always cool, you know, watching the Marvel movies because Stan Lee always makes a cameo.
Did you play the new Spider-Man game?
I have not. I heard
he makes
amazing.
A cameo in that as well.
He's in the,
yeah.
He's in the new Spider-Man game as well. Wow. Rest in peace to the great Stan Lee. And also, I'll use this time, you know, since we're, you know, non-sports related, it is Veterans Day today. I should have opened with that, man. Happy Veterans Day to all of the vets out there. You know, I want to give a specific shout out to my Uncle Eddie. We call him Uncle Snoochie. he fought in the Vietnam War back in the day. Love you, Unc, and happy Veterans Day. Do you guys have any Veterans Day shout-outs you want to give? Anybody who's actively serving or who has served, I should say, in the military? Jack, anybody?
Sure. Both my grandparents and my Uncle Dale all served in the Navy as well. So
that's awesome stuff, man. Anybody for you, Alec, that you want to
give? Yeah, he's not actively serving, but he served in World War II as my great-grandpa, Buscemi. Yeah, he served then, and I think he did another tour after that. So shout-out to him. He's in heaven, but...
That's great stuff. Me and yep. Also my great aunt.
Oh, man. Wait. My roommate's in the National Guard as well. So
that's yeah.
Shout out, Kyle.
You might want to mention that as well, Jack. Shout out to the roommate. And yeah, also my great uncle who just passed away, my Uncle Freddie. He served in the military as well back in the day. So happy Veterans Day to all of our listeners out there. And happy Monday to you all. I know this was kind of like a down show, wasn't it? Just bashing MSU football for an hour. But hey, you know, my motto here on Current Sports, we are always going to keep it real. We are always going to keep it 100 and be honest and be transparent with our listeners. Really appreciate Dave and Tom for weighing in and all of you who tuned in late in the game on our Facebook page, seeing as though Facebook was down when we started the show. We'll be back at it same time, same place tomorrow. We'll talk MSU Spartan hoops. Don't miss it. See you Tuesday and be easy, people.